Steve, thanks. Normally, Eric Zorn of the Chicago Tribune joins us at 11:30. This week, he had something very, very pressing, very important to do, so we've asked him to come in a little bit earlier, and he's obliged. Thank you, Eric.
Well, let me say what that important thing is, which is that the U.S. Senate debate, the first debate between Mark Kirk and Tammy Duckworth, is going to be three floors above us, or four floors above us on the fourth floor here, at 11 o'clock, which is my usual time is 11:30. So I really want to be there for that. It's
going
to be really interesting to see, you know, how Mark Kirk presents himself. You know, we haven't really, he says some goofy stuff. He doesn't seem to, you know, goes off the rails occasionally. It'll be interesting to see how he holds up in an hour-long debate. I think that's a lot of the question that people have about him right now is he up to continuing with the job? He's been a pretty moderate voice for Illinois, and so it'll just be interesting to see. I'm really looking forward to seeing that debate.
He's gone against the grain on more than one occasion of the Republican right.
A lot of times, he has.
Distanced himself from Trump almost immediately.
And he's one of the few who stayed distant from Trump. And he met with Merrick Garland, the Obama Supreme Court nominee to replace Scalia. And a lot of the Republicans have said, no, you shouldn't have done that. And he's the one who's pushing for hearings. I mean, not that it did any good. But, yeah, he has definitely not been a down-the-line rigid ideologue. So he's been an interesting senator to have. So, anyway, that'll be an interesting debate. And it'll be live-streamed, by the way. I would recommend that you watch it, of course, after you listen to Bill and Linda.
Sure.
Of course.
Thank you. You'd want
to wait for that. But
I like them
it'll
both.
Be archived.
I really do. They both have some really great qualities.
No, I really nerded out this morning reading their position papers that they had submitted to the Tribune. I think they're posted online. But you read, you know, all their positions in there, but you read, it's pretty reasonable. I'm like, some things I disagree with, but, you know, it'll be interesting. So let's.
Just like the presidential election, it's like either way, you're a winner.
No.
Wow. It's not like the presidential election.
Not like that at all.
Really. We tried to actually get you on the air. Was it Friday that the Tribune came out with their endorsement for Gary Johnson?
Yeah, I was out giving a speech in the suburbs, so I couldn't do that. But yeah, it was a big day upstairs. A lot of email from people who are really questioning that endorsement. And I answered a lot of those emails. And if you've written to me, I'm still getting through them, so I will get back to you.
We had more than one caller or texter say that because of this, they're distancing themselves from the Tribune. They're canceling their subscriptions. They don't agree
with... And we said don't do that.
Yes, thank you. And what I've said to those people is, yes, you know, this endorsement of Gary Johnson, I don't agree with it, and that's fine. The Tribune editorial voice is a voice at the paper. It's a strong voice. I'm not diminishing it at all.
Who's in that editorial board?
Well, look, I'll get to that in a second, but I will say, you know, they publish, you know, my work, and I've been very critical of Trump, and they are too. And I've been fairly supportive of Hillary Clinton. They publish Rex Hupke, Darlene Glanton, Mary Schmeek, Heidi Stevens, Clarence Page, all of whom are fairly liberal, and then Steve Chapman, who's on the board, who is often he's always interesting, but sometimes I'm with them. So, mm-hmm. I mean, they publish a variety of voices, plus all the op-eds. So it's not like, you know, we're some sort of right-wing news outlet or some libertarian think tank news outlet. The op-ed pages publish a variety of views. And, you know, and the journalism that we do is not connected to the editorial board. So all the investigations that we do, the political coverage, all that stuff, it should not be connected in people's minds. Like, I'm going to stop subscribing because of this editorial position. The editorial board is, I think it's about a dozen people of a variety of views, and I sit with them upstairs. I go to a lot of their meetings. They're very smart people, and they make their decisions. And I'm not at all in the meetings where they talk about the endorsements. I say they don't want me in them, and I want to stay away from them. And how they come up with their views is that, you know, they do get they talk about these issues, but they also feel that the Tribune itself has a voice that is bigger than all of them, that has stood for certain principles for generations. And it's actually true. Generations is probably wrong. I think that the Tribune was really a right wing, you know, organ back in the 60s. And it has evolved since then. It is a moderate Republican, small government, low taxes, but socially fairly progressive paper. I mean, we're against the death penalty. We've been spoken out for gay rights and so on. It's not some hardcore conservative place. So when they make these endorsements, they get around and discuss them. You know, they get a sense of what the people who are there now, but I think those people feel that they are you know, but temporary custodians of this voice, that the voice is bigger than theirs, and they try to sort of channel that entity that is the Tribune editorial voice. And that's what they came up with.
Was there a time, I think it's commonly known that of your two major papers, as I was growing up, the Tribune and the Sun-Times, the Tribune had much more of a slant to the right. Was there ever a time where the publishers or the editor of the Tribune said to their columnists, we would appreciate that what you write about reflects those values?
I don't know if there was ever a time like that. I know that I've been writing a column for 30 years, and it's never been the case with me. And, you know, I had a column, it was sort of coincidental, that my column on Friday morning in the paper explained why I thought a vote for Gary Johnson was not a good vote if you're on the left or progressive at all. That Gary Johnson has a couple of, you know, appealing things. Oh, he's pro-pot, he's pro-gay rights, he's pro-choice. But you scratch the surface of this, you know, seemingly cool, hip uncle guy, and
right.
you realize that he's a pretty hardcore right winger, especially economically, and his tax plan is crazy, and it would really hurt poor people, you know, and his health care plan. I think that you know, that sick people would be sicker and poor people would be poorer under a Gary Johnson presidency, if he would even be a good president, and I'm not sure that he would be, given the way he couldn't answer some basic questions. He didn't know who Harriet Tubman was.
That's a problem.
Did you hear that story?
What?
Yeah, he didn't know who Harriet Tubman was. He didn't know what Aleppo was.
Well, that I understand.
He didn't know anyone was injured in the bombings on the East Coast. And most importantly, when pressed by Chris Matthews the other day to name a foreign leader that he admires, couldn't name a single one. That was on Thursday, the day before the Tribune endorsed him as the president. Do you think they took any of that into account when going over the pluses and minuses of him?
Well, that happened on Wednesday. The Chris Matthews interview was Wednesday night.
You're right, Wednesday,
and then
it hit
the
press on Thursday.
The endorsement launched Friday morning. You know, I don't think that you turn on a dime based on a failure to answer a question like that. I don't know whether they
had any
second thoughts. That would be a question. I know John McCormick came down and talked to Ro Khan on Friday. And,
yeah.
I mean, those are kind of questions. I mean, like I said, I don't get involved in those decisions, and I don't know what the conversations were. I'm sure it gave him some second thoughts about it, but, you know, at some point you can't, like, okay, we're going to tear this all up now because he couldn't answer a question. So, but it's a tough.
I would have.
It's a tough question.
I mean, it was an easy question. What question could have been asked that would have been easier that he couldn't name another foreign country?
Name a state in the United States.
Right.
That
even if they, because they did say name someone you admired. Couldn't he have just very quickly got, really, there's no one I admire? And I mean,
there
he just
been a
was
way to mask
so
it.
Like. Deer in headlights, you know.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was a painful moment. I mean, you couldn't not to be able to come up with, you know, like Justin Trudeau, for example.
Sure.
I mean,
it's our neighbor to the north.
Neighbor
you
to
should
the north.
Probably
yeah.
have heard of him.
I had this conversation with people. It's like, okay, name three foreign leaders you admire. They go, well, Justin Trudeau, Angela Merkel. You know, it's hard to.
It is
these
hard.
Things. And especially when you're on national TV, I can sort of relate to that. Although when you're a presidential candidate,
right.
And this gets back, you know, we haven't even spoken since the debate on Monday night. We spoke last Monday morning.
Sure.
Where I talked about, oh, the bar is so low for Trump, he will clear it easily. Well, I regret the error. You know, he was so unprepared for that debate. And the question is, if you're not prepared for an interview with Chris Matthews, and you're not prepared for a 90-minute debate, how can you put yourself forward to be prepared for
when the country needs
the biggest job in the world, which is just mind-boggling?
Yeah, yeah.
Let's talk more about Trump.
All right, we will. Let's take a quick break, and then more of this sort of thing. If you want to jump in, we're at 312-981-7200. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
Hillary Clinton's only loyalty is to her financial contributors and to herself. I don't even think she's loyal to Bill. You want to know the truth?
Whoa. All right. So how about that?
So he said that. So that happened.
Yeah.
That was Saturday night. That was unbelievable. He had a Twitter storm on Friday morning going after Alicia Machado. Is that
yeah.
her name? The
former Miss Universe.
About the one who gained some weight. How
and she's disgusting.
And Saturday he goes off on this tangent. He's, of all people... First of all, I don't think there's any evidence that Hillary Clinton was ever unfaithful to Bill. And second of all people to raise infidelity as a possible
right.
issue, something to hold against somebody in a prison. This is a guy he's had five kids by three women, famously cheated on his first wife with his second wife, and bragged about it. And now he's bringing this up. I just don't, this guy is out of control. And the thing that's really scary about this to me is that he doesn't seem to listen to the people around him. That, you know, he's got, Kellyanne Conway, whatever you think of her, she's a pro, and she is trying to rein him in, and he doesn't listen. He's tweeting at 3 in the morning about Miss Universe 4 days after this became an issue, keeping it alive. And if he's going to be president, he's got to listen to people around him who know a lot about these issues and know a lot about what's going on. He doesn't seem to listen to anybody, and it's got to be scary for people.
Do you think that stems from the fact that for the majority of his life, he hasn't had to listen to anybody? He's got advisors, he's got staff, and they can say whatever they want, and he can nod. But the bottom line is, he can kind of do as he's pleased for years.
This is the fallacy in my mind of that someone who's good at business is going to be good at being a chief executive in the government context. I think that's a fallacy. I think we're seeing it in Illinois right now. I don't think Bruce Rauner has any particular political talent. I'm sure he's really good at business, but he's not showing a talent for the kind of, you know, bringing people together that you need to have to be an executive. The other thing about Trump is that you know, the big issue today, it was over the weekend after this remark, was about his taxes. You guys follow this story?
Yep.
At all? New York Times broke a story saying that he probably didn't pay, or he could have paid zero income tax
for 18 years.
Yeah, decades.
Now, my view on this, and my wife and I have argued about this strongly, which is, I think that he's under no obligation to pay more taxes than he owed. And if he lost basically $1 billion in the mid-90s,
In one year, by the way,
he's a good businessman.
To me, that's the issue. His supporters are going on TV saying he's a genius because he knows how to work the tax code and pay no taxes. I think his accountants may be geniuses.
Are they running?
But they're not running. You know, I don't think he knows. He says, I know this. I know more about the tax code than anyone. I don't think that's true. I think his accountants know about it. But I would, you know, nobody. Nobody listening to us right now pays more taxes than they should. You know, your accountant doesn't say, well, we could take your home mortgage deduction. You say, no, that wouldn't
please
be
don't.
Right. Please don't. I want to pay more in taxes. We all try, when we do our taxes, to pay as little as we want. He did that. And I don't, that's, of all the things, I don't hold that against him. I really don't. I think that's what you do when you're in business. And he said, I think plausibly, that this would have been irresponsible of him to the people who work for him, to people who are part of his company and all that. It's, you don't pay any more taxes than you owe. The thing that is really interesting, Bill, that you point out, which is that he lost $1 billion
in a year.
And he portrays himself as this really brilliant businessman. If you're a really brilliant businessman, you probably don't lose $1 billion, especially in the 90s.
Yeah,
right?
But he has money, so $1 billion to him is not...
Not what it would be to us.
Right.
It would be most of your paychecks.
That's why he's so relatable to me in many ways.
Wouldn't it be nice, though, if we could all afford a crack team of accountants that could find these loopholes so that we could go 18 years, potentially, without paying federal taxes? That's near impossible. It's hard to sell a country on the idea that we're going to do all these things. Now, tax money, we'll pay for it, but it won't be my tax money. It'll be your tax money. I have accountants that found loopholes.
I think the way this is perceived by people is, you know, that he somehow cheated. There's been no allegation that I've seen that he cheated on his taxes. That he did. The scandal is that we have a tax code that allows this to happen, that allows someone who makes as much money as he does not to pay any taxes because he made such inept investments. And of course, he also declared bankruptcy 6 times over the course of this time. So there are people getting, you know, paid pennies on the dollar for what he owes them over that time. So he knows how to take advantage of the laws. I haven't heard from him, though, what he's going to do to change those laws. He's the one who says, like, well, I know the system. I can fix it. What's he going to do to fix it? Is he going to say that when you have these kind of business losses, you can't write them off? I'm not an accountant. I don't know what that would do to other businesses who maybe don't have as much cash as he does. That the way the tax system is set up, it's not random. It's not like they set this up in order to, you know, just give rich people more money. They want to encourage investment in business, and they don't want to take people who have failed investments and ruin them over that.
Right.
So, you know, I would love to talk to an accountant about that, but I think I would like to hear what his plan is, not to make it so that people don't have to
pay. Did you know that such a thing existed, that if you had one disastrous year, you could use those lost credits for the next 18? I had no idea.
Isn't it year to year, though? You can't do
it. That's what I was always under the assumption.
That's what I thought. Yeah, I was so surprised to me. I guess when you have major losses, you can go back and redo your taxes from the previous 3 years and then 15 years going forward.
Yeah.
So you can.
But did you know that that
existed? I did not know.
I would not have guessed that.
The last time I lost $1 billion a year, I should have known this because I've been paying a lot of taxes since then.
What did he do to lose almost $1 billion in a year?
He had a hotel thing go bad, or a casino, or an airline investment. He said a bunch of things that didn't go well. Trump.
At least he tries. You got to give him an A for effort.
He had a mortgage company that didn't work. I'm not sure which businesses they were. And of course, the final thing. We probably run out of time here, but there was a big article in the New York Times this morning about his attack is going to be on Hillary Clinton, that she enabled Bill in his infidelities, and she also was part of the group that was trying to
discredit.
Well,
he accused her over the weekend, right, of being unfaithful to him.
Yeah, right. We played the tape.
We played that audio.
Yep.
That's Bertrand.
He's busy.
I listen to as much Eric Zorn as I can.
but not quite enough.
No, never
enough. And he also went on to say she couldn't, walk or 15 feet to the car without collapsing. How is she going to run? What does that have to do with anything?
Well, she was ill. But their contention is that she is still really ill. And he's feeding on this thing that she's going to die soon, which is like what the National Enquirer is pushing out there. The interesting thing to me was that I thought she got stronger as that debate went on.
Absolutely.
And by the end of 90 minutes, he seemed like he had run out of gas.
Yep.
And that's when he was babbling and saying that the most immature thing I've ever heard anyone say in a debate, which was like, well, I could say something bad about you, but I'm not going to.
But did you see his quote a couple days ago where he said for the upcoming debates, the two more that they have together, he can be meaner. If he wants to be meaner, he can be meaner.
Yes, she's mean, but he can be meaner.
Eric, the Machado thing was obviously planted. It was all planned. Do you think I was going to say something worse, but I didn't, was also planned? Because all of his surrogates went out there and said what a great guy he was for not doing it. And by not talking about it, they talked about it.
He didn't have anything up his sleeve. That
no,
Machado,
he did. No, it was all about the affairs and Clinton and the way Hillary Clinton, treated Bill Clinton's women and all of that. I think that's what they're all alluding to. And now we're all talking about it, and he's getting credit for not talking about it.
I really think Hillary should have turned to him and said, no, I've got time, please. You've called me all kinds of names.
Right.
To my face, tell me what you want to say. I think that would have been a great move, because he was not thinking all that clearly at that point.
He really wasn't.
And he would have said something pretty awful and incomplete, the way he was speaking in like partial sentences. That whole part of the transcript where he's talking about my son, he's 10. He does really well with computers. It's the computers. It's the cyber. He's like,
where was that
babbling.
Going? Yeah.
I don't know. He's babbling. So I wish Hillary just...
He was babbling bigly.
I mean, big time. All the best people said
it's
so.
Still, I listened to that three more times. I swear he said big
bigly,
league.
Not big league. Oh, big league?
It really
a lot of
sounds
people
like big league,
big league
to me.
He's used the word bigly before. It's one of his words.
All right, we need to go. Eric, you have to go.
I've got to go.
You got stuff to do.
It's ChicagoTribune.com. Just go to the, it'll be streaming on the
there.
Top of our website. The
I have
debate.
To say, it's also at WGNRadio.com.
Oh, it is there as
also
well.
Also there.
All right,
great.
You'll find
well,
it.
Just listen to that debate.
Mark
it should
Kirk,
be great.
And Tammy
Duckworth.
In front of the editorial board. It should be great.
Thank you. We'll talk to you next Monday. Read Eric Zorn in the Chicago Tribune, a break, and then Steve's News next. Bill and Wendy, WGN.